Well, I'm guessing at some point that all of us have taken some kind of Christmas road trip. Hopefully it did not include a frantic run through the airport or accidentally leaving your child home alone. But maybe it was a trip to the grandparents or a vacation to try to see the snow or a trip to New York City to see the lights at Christmas or a cruise just to relax. A Christmas road trip can be filled with fun and full of a lot of memories. Well, I don't know if their trips were fun, but in the first Christmas, the birth of Jesus, there were a number of Christmas road trips. And we thought it would be kind of fun this Christmas season to take a look at some of those Christmas road trips. Now, there were no, I can guarantee, no frantic running through the airport. And there was no luxurious SUV or minivan to take these trips in. We're going to start today with the most familiar of these trips, the trip that Mary and Joseph take from their hometown of Nazareth to Bethlehem, where Jesus would be born. Now, their trip may have included a donkey. That's often the way we see it in pictures and movies, isn't it? But we're not even sure that's true. Their trip may have been completely on foot. Well, here's how their Christmas road trip begins in the very familiar passage of Luke chapter 2. We're going to start right in verse 1. Here's what it says. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria, which, by the way, just this verse, this last little bit, that's an interesting thing because it gives us a historical perspective. It's a reminder that we can trust the truth of the Bible because it's historically accurate. Here's what it says, verse 3. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. Every 14 years, Rome would take a census. And I don't know who came up with the idea, who thought this was the best way to go, but somebody decided that the most accurate way to have this census was to force everyone to go back to their hometown, to the city of their fathers. And there they would take an accounting of their name, their occupation, their property ownership, and any family members. It was, the purpose of the census was for military purposes, but probably way more than that, it was all about taxes. Rome wanted their money. Here's what it says, here's what happens next. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And so Joseph takes his very, very pregnant wife on a journey that would have been about 70 to 80 miles in length. It would have taken them a minimum of 3 days walking or at best, you know, on a donkey. It was a very difficult trip for Mary. This was not a, hey, honey, just recline your seat a little bit. Is the air okay? You just relax while I drive. This was walking probably 70 to 80 miles. Can you just imagine how difficult this trip was for Mary? Here's what happens next, verse 6. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. And now if the trip had not been difficult enough, they arrive only to find out that there is no place for them to stay in Bethlehem. And quite honestly, I wonder, as they get into town, have the contractions already started for Mary? Now, normally, when they would have made this trip to their hometown of Bethlehem, the custom would have been like ours. They would have stayed with relatives, or they would have found a room in the inn, not a motel like we would picture, but a place where there would have been a bed for them. But on this particular trip, the city is so overwhelmed with people, so incredibly crowded, that there is no place for them to stay. And so they end up out with the livestock, which may have been a cave or a stable attached to the inn. We're really not sure exactly what it looked like, but they were out with the livestock. There was no fanfare, no entourage with them, even though the King of Kings was about to be born. I read that one of the times when Queen Elizabeth made a trip to the United States, that her entourage included 4,000 pounds of luggage, two outfits for every single occasion that she was going to, an outfit just in case someone died so that she'd have the proper attire for mourning. She had 40 pints of plasma. I don't know if our plasma in America is not good enough, but I don't understand that exactly. She had a hairdresser, two valets, all kind of other attendants. Her own leather toilet seat was brought along. All of this so that the queen could come spend a few days in America. It cost $20 million for her to make that trip. Trust me, for Mary and Joseph, even though they were about to give birth to the King of Kings, there was no entourage, there was no fanfare, probably very little luggage, just a very pregnant woman, her husband-to-be, and the livestock. But they weren't completely alone. In fact, here's what it says next, starting in verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so the shepherds are out doing, well, whatever shepherds do when they're out in the field watching their flocks at night. And an angel shows up and says the Savior, Jesus, has been born. A baby has been born in Bethlehem, and it piques their curiosity. And so these shepherds get up and they go to Bethlehem to see what has happened. And you know what? They are the only visitors, as far as we know from Scripture, that Mary and Joseph have. Right? There's no family. There are no friends. There's no church family to show up and wish them well. These shepherds are the only guys. Guys they had never met before. I mean, ladies, can you imagine? That had to be a bit awkward, don't you think? But they're their only visitors that show up. Here's how the rest of the story goes in verse 16. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. See, here's the reality. Christmas is impossible for us to miss in our culture, isn't it? I mean, stores started putting Christmas decorating items out in the stores before Halloween was even over this year. It's ridiculous. And I heard along the way somewhere that somebody said there's 100 shopping days left till Christmas, which, by the way, does not register with a guy. Maybe when there's 100 hours, we start paying attention, more likely 24 to 48 hours. We're really thinking about it. It's impossible to miss Christmas. But here's one thing that is true for this first Christmas road trip. Nearly everyone missed that first Christmas. It was so subtle, and in a quiet corner of the world, that nearly everyone missed what was happening. Only the shepherds stopped what they were doing and took note of the arrival of Jesus. Everyone else, it seems, just continues to go about the hustle and bustle of their activities, their normal life. Even though you and I may not miss the Christmas event, it is possible in the hustle and bustle to miss the significance of this season. You ever miss something important in your life? When I first got into ministry, there was a pastor that was just kind of a mentor to me from afar and somebody that was kind of a hero to me. His name was Bob Russell. He led a really large, growing church in Louisville, Kentucky. And Bob tells a story that somehow, and I don't remember all the events, that he was scheduled to do a wedding. He completely forgot about it. This was in the days before cell phones and text messages. They couldn't get a hold of him. And so the janitor at their church had been in his past an ordained minister. The janitor stepped in and performed the wedding ceremony for this couple. Now, I've never missed a wedding, or a funeral, but I have missed some other important things. I was at lunch one day with some of our staff. We were just going to Firehouse Subs and sitting down to eat the sandwiches we had purchased, and I got a text message. Didn't you have a lunch appointment? And she gave me the name of a guy here at Cross Point. I was like, oh no. And I was already a half an hour late. And I called and apologized, and he was incredibly gracious. It's not the first or the only time I've ever missed a lunch appointment. I asked him recently, hey, you want to go to lunch? He said, we can schedule something, but who knows if you'll show up. And until the angels showed up to the shepherds in that field that night, everyone was missing what God was doing in that stable. In fact, I'm guessing that night, if you would have walked by that stable and looked in, you would not have thought God is at work there. In fact, if you'd have walked by that stable that night, you probably would have thought God has abandoned those people. It would have been so easy to miss what was happening. Monday of this week, last Sunday afternoon and Monday of this week, all six of us, Matt and Abby, Peg and I, and Michael and Amani, went to Orlando and went to the Magic Kingdom. Something Michael wanted to do while he was here. I'm not sure why. It doesn't come from me. So we were in the Magic Kingdom, and it is all decorated for Christmas. It is beautiful in many ways. But Monday by 10 o'clock, it was so crowded with people. I mean, so incredibly crowded with people that it's hard to even like walk down the street to get anywhere. And I thought to myself as I looked at some of the decorations, it's hard to enjoy these decorations with all of the crowd of people. And I realized after we were done, there were probably things that were beautifully decorated in that park that we never even saw because we were just in this massive crowd of people and you couldn't enjoy any of the scenery. You just had to pay attention to where you were walking so you didn't walk over top of someone. And I think it's possible in our lives, especially during this season, that they become so crowded that we can miss the true beauty of Christmas. So I want to suggest some perspectives today that if we would maybe try to keep these perspectives this Christmas, it may help us to see the true beauty of this season. And they come right from this experience that Mary and Joseph had on this first Christmas road trip. Here's the first one. You need to keep your holy wonder. Keep your holy wonder. Remember what verse 19 says about Mary? It says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word ponder there is the picture of weighing something, like weighing the significance and the importance of something, letting it roll around in your head and your heart. It's exactly what Mary did. It says that she held on to these things. She treasured these things. She let them roll around in her heart. She weighed the significance of what was happening to her. You see, for Mary, there was this holy wonder over what God was doing in that stable that night. For Mary, she pondered the holy wonder of the years that followed as Jesus grew up. And I was thinking this week, that would not be a bad thing for us to put on our Christmas to-do list, that we would take time to stop, to ponder the holy wonder of the reality that God loved you enough to send His Son, to be born as a baby in a stable, to be placed in a manger, to ponder in our hearts the holy wonder of the reality that God invaded planet Earth on a rescue mission, a perilous rescue mission for you, because He loves you that much. We need to let that roll around in our head and our heart. We need to weigh and ponder the holy wonder of what God did for us. How do you do that? I think it probably looks different for all of us. I jotted down some ideas, though, maybe. Maybe this Christmas season, in the middle of your Christmas shopping someday, you need to stop the shopping and just go into Starbucks, get a peppermint hot chocolate. I was reminded this week that that is Christmas in a cup. And open your Bible up and maybe read this story again. And in the middle of that activity, to just stop and to ponder the holy wonder of what happens in Luke chapter 2 and how that has impacted our lives. Maybe for you it is this week gathering every night your family around a Christmas nativity scene that you have in your home and unwrapping one of the pieces of that nativity scene and talking as a family about the holy wonder of what happened there and how that particular piece fits into that story. Maybe for you this week it is doing what so many of Crosspoint people did yesterday, and that is finding a place out in our community where you could serve. I had the opportunity yesterday to drive around to all three of our GO neighborhoods and to see tons of our Crosspoint people out loving on and serving people in those neighborhoods, serving our community. And maybe you getting out and serving others would take the attention and place it where it would and help you to have a moment of holy wonder. Maybe for you this week sometime or in the next couple of weeks, find a morning where you get up really early and you go someplace where you can see the sunrise. And as the sun rises, you would contemplate and have a holy wonder about some words that Zechariah the prophet speaks about Jesus. They're recorded in Luke chapter 1, if you want to jot that down. Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79, he says these words: "The sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace." And when you realize that Zechariah was speaking those words about the coming of Jesus, about this moment, this holy moment in the stable, and the kind of difference that it makes in our lives, ponder that. Let that roll around in your head. Have a sense of holy wonder about what God has done for us. Corrie Ten Boom tells a story about a young man named Hank. Hank struggled with some mental disabilities. This was right after World War II, and so she was working at that time, I think, in Germany with a number of children who struggled. And as she worked with this one boy, he spent a lot of time at home. He did have kind of a government job that he had been given where he would go and make clothespins. But he spent so much of his time at home, and so one day Corrie stopped by just to see him and see how he was doing. And his mom said he's upstairs in his bedroom in part of the attic. And so she climbed all of those steps up to where Hank was, but as she got to the top of the steps, she could hear that he was singing. And she peered through this partially open door, and she could see that he was holding a dirty old picture of Jesus. And he was singing at the top of his lungs these words: "Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light, Jesus, I come to thee." And she said, "I had heard all kinds of amazing orchestras and choirs over the course of my life, but," she said, "Hank's rough voice was as beautiful in that moment as any of those beautiful choirs had ever been as he belted out those words." And I just think of him in that bedroom singing like that. It was holy wonder in his life about what Jesus had done in his life. Corrie says that it wasn't much longer and that she found out that one afternoon, Hank's mom had climbed those same steps to Hank's room and found that he had passed from this life, but he was holding on to that picture. Corrie said, "I just wondered, as he passed, did he sing that song to himself, 'Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come.'" Have a sense of holy wonder for a few minutes this Christmas season. A second perspective that I think would help us to keep the true beauty of Christmas is to keep margin in your life. To keep margin in your life. Have you ever wondered, why does God pick these shepherds to be the ones to first hear the announcement of the arrival of Jesus? I mean, I've often wondered that. Maybe it was because they were such underdogs in their world. They were not the rich, the famous, the powerful. They were the last ones that anyone in their culture would have expected to receive such an important announcement about the arrival of Jesus. And yet, God, throughout history, has always seemed to use those kinds of people. People we'd say they're such an underdog. And God chooses them. And maybe that's part of the reason. But I also wonder, is it possible that God chose these shepherds because they had something in their life that, if we're honest this morning, is often missing from ours? And that is margin. I mean, these shepherds set out in the fields. When you're out there watching the sheep, you've got some time to think. Maybe they thought a little bit more about God. Maybe they thought a little bit deeper some of those nights as they watched the sheep. Maybe they took time to think about and to think deeply about some of the scriptures they had heard in the synagogue the last Saturday that they were there. They had margin. And I think if we're really honest with ourselves this morning, most of us, we don't have a lot of margin in our lives. We don't take much time during this season just to think about God, to sit and listen to Him. In fact, I'm guessing this morning, if I said to you, hey, I want to challenge you that every day between now and Christmas, I want you to take an extra 10 minutes just to have some margin and to sit and to think about God, many of you would protest and say, I don't have an extra 10 minutes, especially during the Christmas season. I don't have an extra 10 minutes. See, too many of us never slow down enough to be still before God. We don't have the margin in our lives. You ever seen the video where they ask you to count basketball passes between a group of people? There are some students in white t-shirts, and there are some other people in black t-shirts, and the instructions are count the number of basketball passes made between all of those who are in white t-shirts. Well, what they don't tell you, and what many people don't recognize because they're so intent on counting the number of passes, is that while that is happening and they're making those basketball passes, a gorilla walks into the screen, stops in the middle, beats on his chest, and then walks off the other way. An amazing number of people, when asked about the gorilla, say, I never saw it. It's because they were so focused on counting the passes. You go home and Google it, you'll see the gorilla now because I've pointed it out to you. But Google it over lunch and show it to a friend who didn't hear me this morning and see what happens. They may miss the gorilla. And in our lives, we are so busy counting things that often don't matter so much and watching things that often don't matter so much, and posting things that often don't matter so much, and shopping for things that often don't matter that much, that we miss what God is doing in the world around us and maybe what He'd like to do in our own lives because we're so busy. And I just wonder what could happen this Christmas season in your life if you created some margin. A third perspective that I hope we might try to keep so that we would see the true beauty of Christmas this season is to keep believing that Jesus changes everything. To keep believing that Jesus changes everything. Remember what it says in verse 10 of Luke 2? It says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. A Savior that changes everything was born. Don't lose sight of how the Savior has changed you, how He has changed history, how He has changed our world, how He has changed eternity. A baby was born in a manger that literally changes everything. Maybe this week, if you follow our Bible reading plan, you came to some passages in the book of Romans in chapters 3 and 4 on Thursday and Friday that caught my attention because they are such vivid reminders of how the baby in the manger changes everything. Romans chapter 3 says this, for everyone has sinned, right? And we would not argue with that this morning. If I ask who sinned in this room, everybody raise their hand. We'd gladly admit we've all sinned. We have all messed up. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, and we do. And yet God, in His grace, freely makes us right in His sight. And how does He make us right? He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. We were made right. The baby in the manger changes everything. Romans 4 says this, He was handed over to die because of our sins. Right? That includes you. It includes me. And He was raised to life to make us right with God. The baby in the manger changes everything. Don't lose sight of that this Christmas. Let it sink into your heart. And as you remember that the baby in the manger has changed everything in your life, you'll see the true beauty of Christmas. One more thing that we need to keep, one more perspective that we need to keep this Christmas, and that is, keep sharing Jesus with everyone. The angel said the birth of Jesus was good news to all people. Not just to religious people, not just to poor people or just to rich people, not just to smart people or not just to the not so smart people. It was good news for everyone, for all people. So one of my, probably in the top 10 Christmas movies, is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer still. I love that movie, love that show. And I don't know when it's on this year, but I'll watch it, I'm sure. And I love when they get to the island of the misfit toys. You know, the little car that has the square tire on it instead of round, and all these toys that are just something slightly wrong with them. They're just not quite right. The island of misfit toys. And I think I probably like the island of misfit toys because they're what I realize, we're all misfits. I mean, we are. We've all messed up. None of us is perfect. None of us have it all together. All of us struggle with things in life. We are from the island of misfit toys. And I'm reminded that when the angel said this was good news for all people, they were really saying it is good news for all the misfits. That's you and me. Jesus is good news for all people because he brings great joy. He changes our lives. You know, I think maybe the angels were the first ones to say, come and see Jesus. Come and see the baby in the manger. Come and see the baby that's going to change everything. Come and see the one who is good news because he will bring great joy. Come and see the one who can change everything in your life. And you know what? That's something that any follower of Jesus can do. Any of us can say to our friends, to our coworkers, to our neighbors, come and see. Come and see the Jesus who could change everything in your life. And this Christmas, I just want to keep reminding you to keep sharing Jesus with everyone because it is good news for all people. And keep sharing that by simply saying to them, come and see. Our number one or number two come and see event at Crosspoint has become our Christmas Eve services. It is a great opportunity for you to say to your friends, hey, come and see. Come to Christmas Eve. Because here's what we've discovered over the last few years. There are a number of people, probably some of you sitting in this room today, your very first invitation to Crosspoint, and for many of you, your very first invitation back to church or to church ever was to come on Christmas Eve. And they could tell you this morning how their lives are being transformed by Jesus, how he is changing everything in their lives, simply because somebody loved them enough to say, hey, come and see. So we've been very bold this year about Christmas Eve. We're going to have four Christmas Eve services, which seems crazy because we've added so many more seats from what we used to have, but we're still going to have almost the same number of Christmas Eve services. That's because we want to give you the opportunity to say to lots and lots of people, come and see. Because they may discover the good news that will bring great joy. They will discover the Jesus that changes everything in our lives. So I hope you'll be inviting. Next week we'll have some invite cards that you can take with you and start using. We're going to put a lot of things on social media, but really it comes down to you offering invitations in the broadest circles that you can to say, come and see. I hope you'll especially invite your pray for one, the one person that I hope every one of you are praying for who needs to meet Jesus. Hope you'll invite them to come to Christmas Eve. It's a great opportunity. Listen, I hope this year that in the midst of all of the activity that goes with this season, that none of us will miss the true beauty of Christmas. That we'll keep margin in our lives. We'll take time to have a holy wonder about what happened that night and what it means to us. We'll keep believing in our lives and keep reminding ourselves that Jesus really does change everything in people's lives. That's my prayer for us. Let's pray together right now. God, would you help us to have the right perspective this Christmas? God, every day in our lives, whether it's Christmas season or not, it is so easy for us to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of everything that goes on. And God, some of us don't have a lot of margin in our lives. So God, this season especially, would you help us to take the time to be disciplined, to slow down in some moments, to ponder over the holy wonder of what happened that night and how it changes everything, to be reminded that Jesus is good news for all people. He was good news for us, and he brought great joy. Help us, God, this Christmas to see the true beauty of the season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.